Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Prescribed Duties for Mankind, Chapter 5. Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati. Text number 44. Shri Shukuru Vacha
Shri Shukuru Vacha
Pati Chakraha Tad Badham
Pati Chakraha Tad Badham
Narada Sadhu Sammataha
Narada Sadhu Sammataha
Etavan Sadhu Vatohi
Etavan Sadhu Vatohi
Tikshita Shvara Swayam
Shri Sukha Vacha
Kati Chakraha Tad Bhadham
Kati Chakraha Tad Bhadham
Narada Sadhu Sammataha
Narada Sadhu Sammataha
Etavam Sadhu Vadohi
Etavam Sadhu Vadohi
Titikshetishvara Swayam
Titikshetishvara Swayam
Shri Shukru Vacha
Shri Shukru Vacha
Kati Chakraha Tad Bhadham
Kati Chakraha Tad Bhadham
Narada Sadhu Sammataha
Narada Sadhu Sammataha
Etavan Sadhu Vadohi
Etavan Sadhu Vadohi
Titikshetishvara Swayam
Titikshetishvara Swayam
Pratigrinati, I give. So, yes. Tat. That.
That.
Badham.
Badham.
So be it.
So be it.
Narada.
Narada.
Narada Muni.
Narada Muni.
Sadhu Sammataha.
Sadhu Sammataha.
Who is an approved sadhu?
Who is an approved sadhu?
Oh, yes. Etavan.
Etavan.
This much.
This much.
Sadhu Vadaha.
Sadhu Vadaha.
Appropriate for a saintly person.
Appropriate for a saintly person.
He.
Indeed.
Titikshita.
Titikshita.
He may tolerate.
He may tolerate.
Ishvaraha.
Ishvaraha.
Although able to curse Prajapati Daksha.
Also able to curse Prajapati Daksha.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Himself.
Himself.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, since Narada Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tad Badham. Yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return. But, because he is a tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. Purport, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 21, Titikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehi Nam Ajata Satrava Santaha Sarva Sadhu Bhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, Titikshava, merciful, Karunika, and friendly to all living entities, Surida Sarvadehi Nam. He has no enemies, Ajata Satrava. He's peaceful, Santaha. He abides by the scriptures and all his characteristics are sublime. Sadhava, Sadhu, Bhushana. These are the qualities of a sadhu. Because Narada Muni is the most elevated of sadhus, devotees, to deliver Prajapati Daksha, he silently tolerated the curse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this principle to all his devotees. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarurapi Sunichena, Amanina Manadena, Kitania Sada Hari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world, or over the universe, should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree, because a preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Just in case you thought that's what becoming a Hare Krishna meant. Think again. A preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Indeed, a preacher must face many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must also suffer personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers, Jagai and Madhai, they injured him and made his head bleed, but nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narada was not very astonishing, and he tolerated it. Now, maybe I ask why Narada Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all his accusations and curses. Was that for Daksha's deliverance? The answer is yes. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after being insulted by Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni should have left immediately. But he purposely stayed to hear all Daksha's strong words so that Daksha might be relieved of his anger. Prajapati Daksha was not an ordinary man. He had accumulated the results of many pious activities. Therefore, Narada Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and freed from anger, would repent his curse. Would would repent his misbehaviour and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnava and be delivered. When Jagadaya Madai offended Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda stood tolerantly, and therefore both brothers fell at his lotus feet and repented. Consequently, they later became perfect Vaishnavas. Thus, in end, the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Om Haryana Timirandasya Dhananjana Sadakaya Chakshurvitam Jena Tasmai Sri Kudurena Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stakitam Jena Guptale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Vyakti Svata Vyaktikam Mukam Karoti Vatam Amur Nandayate Garim Yat Kripat Maham Pande Sri Gurum Dinatayam. So, Sukadeva Goswami says here that Narada Muni is a sadhu samataha, an approved sadhu. An approved sadhu. And so, And what is the evidence? What's the evidence that he's an approved sadhu? His behaviour is evidence. His behaviour is evidence. You know, we Prabhupada says the most important qualification of a man. Turn the sound off. That's an interesting ring tone you've got there.
It's no
good. Yeah, so usually we judge a person by how he speaks. Prabhupada says the most important qualification of a person is how they speak. Because that's an indication of what they're thinking. And we test what they say and what they therefore think by how they behave. And we see here that Narada Muni is an exemplary Vaishnava, and that his behaviour is aimed at benefiting others. We live for a purpose, and the higher purpose, or the highest purpose, is to live for the benefit of others. Well, and that, I need to qualify that, because that could be taken in the wrong way. It's not material benefit, but for the spiritual benefit of others. But this is generally, this is a measure, I suppose, isn't it? Somebody who's concerned not for themselves, but for others, and who has all these qualities. And so Prabhupada, in the beginning of the purport, describes the qualities of Narada Muni by quoting this verse from Lord Kapiladeva in the 3rd canto of the Bhagavatam. They're tolerant. Which is what's being exhibited here by Narada Muni. Tolerance. And Karunika. He's merciful. Because even though Narada Muni's words are harsh and cutting and would hurt anybody, still, Narada Muni has this foresight, this understanding that let him blow off a bit of steam, right, basically. Let him blow off a bit of steam. And then when he's blown off a bit of steam, he'll cool down. Right? Because that also requires a good judge of character, right? One has to be a good judge of character, because some people get angry and instead of cooling off, they just get worse. Right? But Narada Muni knew, and Prabhupada alludes to it here, that Prajapati Daksha is actually a pious soul. Prabhupada mentions that here. And we know he's a pious soul because he had the darshan of Lord Vishnu. He's actually a devotee at heart. You don't get the darshan of Lord Vishnu without qualification, unless you're a demon, right? And get your head chopped off or whatever. Right? But even then, we know that that role is given to special, you know, to special persons. In any case, as part of Vishnu's lila, in good part. Narada Muni is exhibiting these qualities of a sadhu, sadhu bhushana, right? Sadhu bhushana. And because he is tolerant and merciful, he let Daksha let it all out. Huh? He just. And you know, this is testimony to Narada Muni's self-realization and self-satisfaction is a symptom of a Vaishnava, is that he's comfortable with himself, or he or she is comfortable with themselves. Right? And so therefore can be tolerant. They feel no lacking. They feel very satisfied with whatever they have. A devotee is satisfied in any circumstance. I was thinking this morning how life has become complicated over the years. I remember when Ajit Rukh and I first got married and we moved into our first apartment in Withers Street in Albert Park, and our possessions were the first thing we purchased was an ironing board and an iron. Right. And that's it, that was the furniture in our apartment. And we were busy preaching, you know, busy doing whatever it was that we were doing, and we were happy, didn't even work. Now, because so many, you know, whenever you live in one place for even a year, you accumulate stuff. I think we fill the place up eventually. In those days, we used to sleep on the floor. I remember when my mum and dad visited us, you know, they come and looking around. And, what's going on here? Where's the beds? We're just sleeping on the floor, which is, you know, for middle class Australians, that's like primitive. That's really primitive, but very simple. Devotees, very simple, happily engaged in Krishna service and not worried about facility, right? They're just happy chanting Hare Krishna. And we see that here with Narada Muni. You know, he's been cursed, you know, being given all these curses. He said, eh, sure, no problem, it's all right. Very interesting, actually. As a devotee, he didn't see it as a curse. Didn't see it as a curse, it's a blessing. But importantly, he tolerated the dressing down, I guess, that he got from Daksha, and that's in the translation. Yes, Tad Badham. Oh, up the top. Pratijagraha. I accept Tad Badham. All good. That's what people say sometimes. How's it going? All good. Which is ridiculous because there's no such thing. Everything's good? Never. Right, but it's okay. That's usually the response. How's it going? That's all right. Which means fair to middling. But interesting. Yes, what you have said is good. Which is another measure of his quality as a sadhu. Because then Prabhupada quotes Trinada Pisanichina, Tarura Pisanichina, Amanadena, what is it? Manadena, Amanina, Manadena. Not looking for respect for oneself, always being respectful to others. Right? So that's not easy. He's just being cursed by Daksha, and yet he says he's respectful. And Prabhupada, of course, says this is the secret of chanting Hare Krishna. This is the secret of chanting Hare Krishna, this verse. To consider oneself to be lower than the straw in the street. Can you get any lower than the straw in the street? You can't, practically speaking. And more tolerant than a tree. But then again, here, devoid of all sense of false prestige, amanina, and manadena, ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, it's a real tribute to the personality of Narada Muni, and why Sukadeva Goswami says sadhu samataha, an approved sadhu. This is how you become an approved sadhu. Tolerant and merciful, and always respectful to everyone. Not easy, right? Not easy to do.
But an extra impossible.
Impossible?
Not impossible, next.
Not impossible. But sometimes a challenge. But if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're, you know, param drishtva nivartita, if you're getting the higher taste out of chanting Hare Krishna, then people can be throwing sticks and stones at you, right? And it doesn't bother you. There's no higher taste than the chanting of Hare Krishna. Right? Punam Rittasvadanam Padam Vijayate Sri Krishna Sambhiyatadam. So it's the Purna Amrit, right? The complete nectar. And Prabhupada makes a very interesting statement that we as devotees have to acknowledge. A preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Right? A preacher cannot live an easygoing life. There's always going to be challenges. There'll always be somebody criticizing. Right? Always. There'll be somebody criticizing the preacher. You're breaking up families. You're destroying the lives of young people. Or, you know, you're not preaching. You're not. Well, in my case, you're not managing this temple properly. Or if you're one of the brahmacharis, you're not keeping the temple clean enough. Because the body is always looking to improve their service, right? I think we should always be looking at improving our service. And so these are opportunities, very often opportunities to improve our service. But it'll be challenging. We can't think of, you know, I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I was encouraging her to cook the 7 o'clock offering. I don't have a problem with this conversation, but I was encouraging. She said, "Oh, Prabhu, I want a peaceful life." I said, "That's not how you make advancement. That's not how you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, by having a peaceful life. First of all, it won't happen. Even if you're looking for a peaceful life, that's not going to happen." And I told her, I said that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends, if you can find somebody selling Krishna anxiety in the marketplace, buy it at any cost. Right? Buy it at any cost. Because by taking on responsibility and challenges, it deepens our affection for Krishna. And it deepens our relationship with Krishna. And this is very interesting, right? Because who can see that? Right? And very often people will often do services because it makes them prominent. Right? But a devotee doesn't do that. A devotee does service because it deepens their relationship with Krishna. Right? And who can see that? How can you measure that? You can't. Right? Service to, what is it? Ahoitiki apratihata, isn't it? Should be unmotivated. Our service should be unmotivated. And the motivation for rendering service should be that I'm pleasing Krishna. And that in pleasing Krishna, I'm deepening my relationship with Krishna, which can't be really, you can't measure that in an external way. Or not immediately, anyway. That's difficult to ascertain. Right? I was asked a very interesting question the other day in my Bhakti Shastri Nectar devotion. We were talking about Kanishtha, Madhyam and Uttam. And one devotee said, "Aniruddha Prabhu, you have been a devotee here for many years, and so you must have a good insight into everything. Can you tell us, who were the Uttama Bhaktas in ISKCON Melbourne community?" What? What kind of question? I was really stumped by that question. I thought, what? What? So, well, and I made a point that, and Uttambhakta doesn't show themselves. Right? They don't walk around the place. I'm an Uttambhakta. Because that's actually a symptom of a Kanishtha Adhikari, that he walks around thinking he's the best devotee. Because the Uttama Adhikari thinks he's the worst devotee. And Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar Devotion, he mentions that even an Uttama Adhikari just follows the rules of a sadhaka, right, of a beginner. Doesn't demonstrate. And even if he does, if he's advanced, he'll come down to the Majjhima platform anyway, right, for preaching, right, and will behave like a regular devotee. So how do you tell? We don't have. There's no rule. You know, there's no litmus test. Right? Although there are, actually there are, but they're subtle. They're subtle. And of course, you know, I don't go around looking at everybody. Okay, what are you? Majjhima Bhakta. And isn't it interesting here? We're taught, even if somebody's an Uttama Adhikari, even if somebody's a Majjhima Adhikari, even if there's a Kanishtha Adhikari, or even here's somebody who's criticizing you and having a go at you and you know, is not. You know, a devotee but losing it a bit, we're still respectful to them, right? Isn't it? We should be respectful to everybody. And of course, yes, there will be devotees who are advanced. But how will we measure that? Anybody got any suggestions? How do we measure a devotee's advancement? In ISKCON.
Like we said in this verse, he should be tolerant.
Tolerant, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's good. What are some of the symptoms that we might identify or recognize in an advanced devotee? You reckon? Do you know the other one? What's the first one? Yes, yes. And what's that usually measured by?
Yeah, attachment.
Yes, very good. Go to the top of the class. Attachment to chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah, this is what Haridas Thakur recommends. As or says. Okay, so then what's next? What's after chanting Hare Krishna, what comes next? Service, yes, service. And this is how Prabhupada measured things, right? Prabhupada measured things like, you know, there was that funny story about Subhal. Was it Subhal? Yeah, Subhal. What is it? Anyway, there's a buddy who used to always praise Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, and he came in Vrindavan. He lives in Vrindavan still, I think. Very nice buddy. And he was praising Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, why don't you go and do something useful? Yeah. When I was a very young devotee at the Mayapur Festival, the first time I went to Mayapur, 1981 it was, and I think it was Harikesh Maharaj, Ned Maharaj, and Balananda, then Goswami, were circumambulating the lotus building on the first floor, walking around. And you know, I'd read in the Nectar of Devotion that whenever you see a guru, you should pay your obeisances. Huh? And they were walking around. But every time I came around, I paid my obeisances. And then about the seventh or eighth time they came around, Hare Krishna, and he said to me, will you stop doing that? So, you know, practical application of devotional service means common sense. Later on, I read, you know, Prabhupada said you can pay your obeisances in the morning, you can pay your obeisances in the evening. When you're associating closely with senior people, you're not always paying your obeisances because then you don't do anything. So devotional service is very practical at the same time. So service. And then what else? After service, what else? A real test of a Vaishnava. What's next? So attachment to chanting Hare Krishna, attachment to service, and the negative, what's that? Detachment from sense gratification. This is the flip side to attachment to service is detachment from material activities. And of course that service is exemplified here by Narada Muni, in that service is done for the benefit of others, to help others make spiritual progress, not materially benefiting others. You know, what was it that saying, service to man is service to God? Something like that. What's that?
Manava seva, madhava seva.
Right, yes. Right. No, it's the other way around. Madhava seva is manava seva. Isn't it? That's how it should be. And that's what Narada Muni is exemplifying here. Daksha is being highly critical of him, unnecessarily, and yet Narada Muni is understand, and it's very interesting, the outcome of this cursing compared to the previous cursing when Daksha lost his head. Right, then he done with the head of the goat. And then eventually, you know, left his body. And that was cursing, counter-cursing, right? But here, very interesting, that no counter-cursing from Narada Muni. And so that is again testimony to his sadhu samataha, you know, this approved, he's a sadhu dik, or he's a five-star sadhu, right? You know, how on your fridge you get that star rating, three-star, four-star, five-star. So, you know, I guess you could say Daksha is like a two-star rating Vaishnava. Because he's materially attached. Right? He's materially attached. He's still pious. And we see this in devotees. We see this. Materially pious. Oh, sorry. Not materially. Spiritually pious. Because Daksha saw Lord Vishnu. This really strikes me. In these pastimes, Daksha is a devotee, but only for one or two star devotee. And we do, you know, this is how we can tell. Attached to chanting Hare Krishna, attached to doing service, detached from sense gratification. But then also showing these signs of maturity. This is a real test of a devotee, and a real test of a Vaishnava community, actually, where one's respectful to everybody. Right? Another one of my friends was, I might have mentioned this the other day, but it's a recurring theme in my thoughts at the moment, that we're giving, and this is what Narada Muni is doing, we're giving Krishna consciousness to everybody. Anybody who walks up those stairs, the five stairs at the front, and comes in, we welcome them, regardless of whether they're qualified or not. Right, this is the nature of the devotee. As one of my friends was saying, oh, look at all these people, they're all just freeloaders. Right? They're just coming to eat, and they don't do anything. And I can relate to that kind of attitude. You know, because we think, well, I'm doing so much for Krishna, why can't you? You're just coming here to him. But, you know, it wasn't so long ago that we were just coming here to eat too. And we were looking for a peaceful life. I remember I thought, I'll become a Hare Krishna and life will be peaceful. I'll be happy. Until, you know, my first week in the temple, and I couldn't work out what was going on. Bhagavata Shraya and Balarama were convincing Korma that he should go to jail. That we should be chanting Hare Krishna. Every lunchtime we were chanting Hare Krishna. And the sole purpose of chanting Hare Krishna was to make sure that Korma got caught by the police and sent to jail. And then a few weeks later, we were coming up from taking a bath. We were up here. And, you know, there was a loud explosion. And came up the stairs to discover, you know, Cornwall was in his bedroom, or cubicle, put him on his tealark, and the ED programmers came and fired a shotgun through the front window. Could have killed him. I mean, that was quite serious. But so I'm thinking, what? I joined the Hare Krishnas for peace and love, and I find myself in a war zone. and even in Adelaide, I'd heard stories of, you know, Molotov cocktails being thrown through the front window of the temple. And we don't see that kind of polarisation at the moment in those days, as you mean. But it was a bit of a rude awakening. And you know, I used to see the people coming in, and it took me a while to appreciate that, you know, we're here to help others make progress in their spiritual life. As it turned out, Tom went to jail and was on a hunger fast. He was on a hunger strike. We got fantastic publicity as a result, and of course the sympathy of the public. Oh, look at the poor old Hare Krishna's being, you know, persecuted by the police and the government. So actually, it was quite a, you know, as a public relations exercise, it was quite a stroke of genius. And the dwellers did these things in those days. I never forget when Balaram and Bhakta enrolled Gopals in the Moomba Parade. Right? In the Moomba Parade. Gopal's vegetarian. And we had this huge float. It was as long as, maybe not as long as the temple room, but probably from the step here to this side of where you might have seen pictures of it, where the slope is. And it had an engine, you know, it was motor driven. And I think the theme of the parade was dream time or something like that. So it was Mahavishnu lying down with, you know, a lotus flower coming out of his navel and a kirtan party, right? Sankirtan party. And the Moomba parade was not so much now, but it was an institution of Melbourne. Everybody went to the Moomba parade, and so there's a few hundred thousand people lining the streets, and there's the King and Queen of Moomba, and it was a big event. And so it was just really exciting. It was exciting for us because this is the first time They didn't know it was just Gopal's vegetarian who did wrong, but they didn't know it was Hare Krishna's. And so then they used the Hare Krishna's going down the street, the main street of Melbourne, with hundreds of thousands of, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Normal, you know, Mrs. and Mrs. Joe Blow on the street, and a shock on people's faces, like, what are the Hare Krishna's doing here? How did they get here? You know? But we won a prize. We won a prize for the... And in fact, for the next 5 or 6 years, we ended in the Moon Parade every time, and we were in competition with the Gas and Fuel Corporation because they would spend a lot of money on their float. And so the competition was between the Hare Krishnas and the Gas and Fuel Corporation as to who would build the best float. Right. But of course, and in all of that time, you know, 5 years later, oh, look, there's the Hare Krishnas, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, putting Gorma in jail was a stroke of genius, actually. But of course, they had to talk him into it. Gorma wasn't that keen on the idea of going to jail. And, you know, they would cook meals for him. And then, you know, he told him, you know, it has to be vegetarian, and, you know, we only eat offered food. And so the Scrooge in jail would give him his meal, and, you know, it would have been potatoes and cabbage or something. They said, here's your offered food. Here's your offered food, mate. Of course, Paul was fasting. And of course, the funny thing about that story is, you know, the authorities in the US knew that they had, and that we leveraged that. And so a year later, he still had some outstanding fines, and they just nabbed him off at the street, without being, you know, with no warning, Karma got picked up and sent to jail. He was not prepared for it, and that was quite traumatic for him. You play Monopoly, go to jail, do not pass go, do not collect 200. Karma got the go to jail card without expecting it. So, we can't expect an easygoing life. There'll always be challenges. Yet a devotee is tolerant. What did Jesus say? Forgive them. What is it? Forgive them, for they do not know what they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Forgive them. This is a really Haridas Thakur is a really good example, and he Narada Muni. Being tolerant and thinking of the benefit, in this case of daksha. Let me, you know, because when you think about it, Narada Muni must have known, you know, he would have appreciated why daksha was upset, because he just alienated him from his 11,000 sons. And these are all really qualified boys, they're really highly qualified. That's why Narada was preaching to them, because of their qualification. He knew that they were. But he knew that daksha was pious, and that, you know, he's actually a devotee, but quite attached, materially attached devotee. And that, but because he's a devotee, okay, he's angry, he'll cool off. He'll calm down. And so, you know, that's that measure of compassion. Being prepared to accept difficulties on behalf of service to Krishna, and in that service to Krishna, bringing others to Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's no one more dear to me than he who preaches the message of the Bhagavad Gita to the devotees. So He wanted to give Daksha an opportunity to advance. Right? You know, that's why we distribute so much prasadam. It's why we go out and do Harinam. It's why we do book distribution. We want to give people an opportunity to connect with Krishna and re-establish, you know, their most valuable, the most valuable commodity. The most valuable commodity in the market, if there is a marketplace for such a thing, is, and of course there is, the Namhata is the marketplace. The most valuable commodity is to reconnect with oneself, with one's real identity as a spirit soul and as a servant of Krishna. That's, you know, that's the most valuable proposition that we could make. Manavaseva. Madhavaseva. Manavaseva. That's the most valuable gift that we could give. Why, you know, the name of the shop, 26 Second Avenue, where Prabhupada started his time, is so, what should we say, prescient, or matchless gifts, right? Matchless gifts. And that's what Prabhupada was giving all of us. And look at the, you know, look at all of the challenges that Prabhupada faced in preaching. For us, Prabhupada, you know, sacrificed so much to benefit us. And, you know, who of us, well, certainly I can say, not qualified at all, right, to receive such good fortune. So, sadhu samataha, an approved sadhu, that's what we should become. Approved sadhus, following the footsteps of Narada Muni. And, happy to tolerate inconvenience to give an opportunity to others to become devotees. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? What do Manu read?
It's trying also to remember about Lila Thakur, that he's, in Jagadharma, he said that the symptoms of advanced, spiritual advancement is proportional to the faith that we have in Krishna, dependence of Krishna. So in this case...
The what is dependent on faith?
Faith,
yeah.
Dependence of Krishna. So in this case, for example, Narada Muni, he didn't hesitate to continue his service because of that dependence of Krishna and the clear position. So it's trying to understand how, for example, in that range of faith development, so many devotees are also included. For example, Daksha, as you say, for example, to the stars. He has faith in Krishna, but his dependence on Krishna's protection is less compared to Narada Muni in this case.
Yeah, difficult for Daksha to see the association of Narada and his sons as being beneficial for everybody. And he saw it as an obstacle for him to achieve his purposes. Right. And so he was attached to the result of his activities. And because notionally his service was being interrupted by Narada, he got upset he wasn't able to see. But Narada Muni had a deeper vision. And yes, you're correct. Deeper faith and appreciation of Krishna's plan. So it is. It is a measure of the devotee's faith. Yes, that even in apparently negative circumstances, one can still see the hand of Krishna, right? And that's why the example of Lord Nityananda and Jagaya Madhaya is relevant, because Lord Nityananda tolerated, they were angry, they attacked him, he tolerated it, Lord Chaitanya came to rectify the situation, and in that darshan of Lord Chaitanya, those two were purified and became great devotees. Lord Nityananda was able to see that. You know, there's an example of a devotee called Giridhari Rupa who used to work in a fruit and veg shop in Sydney. And when the Harinam party used to come down the street, he used to throw rotten fruit and vegetables at them. What happened? He became a devotee. So you've got to be careful. Don't throw things at the Harinam party. You could become a devotee. Ah, you Hare Krishnas. Faith is, can be measured, I guess, in the tolerance of the devotee. Is that right? Yeah. Anything else? No? Okay. Gandharajana Bhagavatam Ki
Jai.
Narada Muni Ki
Jai.
Daksha Maharaja Ki Jai. So, next chapter is called The Progeny of the Daughters of Daksha. And so this is how Daksha was successful. He had 60 daughters. And they all married different saints and sages. Well, sages and demigods. And that's how the population was then increased. And Daksha got his... was able to do his service. And Narada Muni did not try to lead them toward the renounced order of life.